Hey, y'all, it's Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. Ever order furniture online and wonder, what if? Like, what if it doesn't fit?
Little to the left. No, wait!
Yep, should have gone with Wayfair. Or what if it doesn't hold up?
That sofa was 4 days old.
Should have ordered from Wayfair. Or what if it's that material that makes that noise?
It was a sofa, I swear.
With Wayfair, there's no what if. Just style you love, quality you can trust, and furniture that actually fits your life. Visit Wayfair.com or download the Wayfair app.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
What is Toyota affordability? It's buying smart. Right now, your local Toyota dealer has great deals available on some of the most reliable trucks on the market, like the off-road ready Tacoma, rugged full-size Tundra, and the legendary 4Runner, each with the space, tech, and features to handle it all, from the worksite to the trails. It means driving for less, with efficient hybrid options available, extending your overall driving range, and delivering great MPGs, meaning bigger savings at the pump without sacrificing power. And it means trading for more. The Tacoma and Tundra are ranked number one and number two in resale value over all vehicles, according to Kelley Blue Book, which can mean thousands more than average when it's time to trade in. That's Toyota affordability. Buy smart, drive for less, and trade for more. Shop Toyota.com or your local dealer for deals and details. Vehicles projected resale value is specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com. Toyota brand average resale value is 53% versus the average vehicle at 45%. Toyota, let's go places.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
All right. Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome in. Yet again, it is on the clock. I am Ben Kenny with you, Phillies 24/7 and Sports Radio WIP. It is January 11th and football still rules the calendar. Games are still going on, but every great coach in the history of mankind is retiring. Belichick here, Nick Saban there. Meanwhile, baseball's offseason continues and there isn't much happening. Couple minor trades that nobody can really get to the bottom of. Arbitration. Oh, yay. Can't wait. Can't wait to break down arbitration numbers. It's like, I don't know. Baseball just kind of keeps shooting itself in the foot. We wait for something here. We wait for the Phillies to do anything. That hasn't happened. The big fish already, mostly, Ohtani and Yamamoto, went to the Dodgers. There's just no carryover. There's no consistency throughout this offseason. Where you could say, oh, there's momentum. You know, people getting excited for 2024. It's almost as if the sport, and I think other sports are doing this too, has ceded the fall and the winter to the NFL. It is just a foregone conclusion, unless you are basketball and hockey, college basketball, those sports, and you have to play, that you cede the time to the NFL. Because you could put out the stories, you could try to create the interest. At the end of the day, I guess the NFL's that much of a giant that it doesn't matter. So this is where I want to start, and there's a lot to get to today. I wanted to go through some of the things in Philly's offseason that we are getting wrong. Things I think have become the biggest myths of this offseason, entering 2024, the season, that is. So we'll get to that. There are some rumblings, Philly's related, free agency related. We'll touch on those. Some new players maybe in the mix. Arbitration did happen. I say that very much tongue-in-cheek. Like, listen, I know how arbitration works. I could explain it. But I'm not a baseball fan to care about how much money somebody makes in arbitration. Straight up, I'm not. When it's game 7 of the NLCS and the bases are loaded, I'm not thinking about what a hit in this situation can do for a player's arbitration number. That's not how I watch sports. That's not how I care about sports. So that stuff's happening. And I'll tell you what it means, I guess. But it's not like that's not what I look forward to every offseason. That's not what I care about. If I want to learn about it, I go read. But I don't need to get up all up in arms if, I don't know, someone gets lowballed. There is an arbitration agreement that leads to something we might know. That just, it's not what brings me to the sport. It's not what I care about. So we'll touch on it, but I had to throw out that disclaimer. And then there is some stuff going on around the sport. Believe it or not, the Dodgers, money's not real. They signed another guy. Cubs made a big move. So we'll talk about all that later. But I wanted to start there with a general thought. I mean, it's January 11th, and I don't know, MLB writers are trying to stir things up. There just isn't any momentum. There's no momentum after a season in which there seemed to be a lot of hope coming out. Where the rule changes, a lot of people like them. It was an exciting season. There are marketable stars, you know, the Ohtani thing. And that's my big problem with Ohtani's free agency. That should have been something where we had finalists, we had suitors, we could move it on, and it could actually take up space. But then nobody was allowed to talk about it. So that just happened, and then it ended. And then nobody else can sign because we don't know what the market looks like because television networks are kind of in flux. We don't know what the TV deals are for some of the teams. It just feels like it's in a weird spot. And we are very lucky in Philadelphia to have a team that is as competitive as it is and that is actually in the game, that is spending the money to be in the game. We're not the Brewers. We're not the Marlins who have spent $0 in free agency. But I don't know. It's kind of sad to me. It's sad. There isn't anything really moving the needle. And there should be. Frankly, there should be. This should be a sport that has the power to at least have some off-season relevance and not just cede the entire 3 months right to the NFL. Just you take it. The games are going on. Then they talk about the draft. You know, you have college. You have all these coaches that are retiring. Not 1 ounce of SportsCenter or any top show. And whether you like the agendas they set, whatever. Not 1 ounce of that is being dedicated to the off-season. Which tells you where we are. And I don't love that. It's been the case for a while. Still, every time it happens, I don't love it. Harper and Machado. That was big. That was big. And it carried on throughout the offseason, and it worked. I think there are opportunities. They're just not taking advantage of it. So there you go. On the clock. Again, I'm Ben Kenny. Phillies 24/7. Subscribe to the podcast feed. Whatever. I'm on Twitter, at Ben Z Kenny. I wanted to get to this. Because, you know, I'm thinking of interesting ways to talk about the team on the show. And as I've said, it's hard just doing it on Friday, right? Because things happen during the week you want to react to instantly. Some of your thoughts kind of get shoved down or shoved into a different segment of the brain as the week goes along. And things build upon each other. You know, there's news on Monday. I want to react to it. And then by Friday, it's different. So the nature of that, the flow, is interesting. But what this does create, in a good way, is I see a lot on Twitter, I see a lot written, I see a lot said, whether it's on MLB Network or John Heyman and his little stream thing that he does. I see all that stuff happen, and I start to develop a fatigue to some of the storylines that are thrown out there constantly. And I think, well, I've compiled them, that's where I'm starting today. I have 6 things that I think we as Phillies fans and around this team are getting wrong about the offseason so far. 6 things. I think the biggest myths of the offseason entering 2024. And if you're curious what exactly I mean, it's going to become clear. Because number one, and this happens, somebody tweets about Whit Merrifield, who you all know if you've listened, I like the guy. I would love to sign him. I think he's a good fit. I think he would fit in seamlessly in the outfield. But someone wondered, you know, oh, if they signed Whit Merrifield, then, like, whose roster spot's gone? What are they going to do with Pache and Rojas? And one of the biggest things I think we're getting wrong, number one, entering the season, is that people think it is fine to enter the year with Johan Rojas and or Christian Pache as a full-time starter. That they are okay entering the year with an absolute offensive sieve in center field or left field or wherever they play, or as a roster spot. If Christian Pache was a more effective offensive player, then maybe they pinch hit for Rojas with the bases loaded in Game 7. But It's entering the year, in essence, with one or two roster spots, pretty much can't contribute anything offensively. So, I mean, we're banking on the fact that Rojas improves. I think he will. I think he should start the year in the minors. But I just don't think you can enter the season with each of those guys on the roster playing every day. You can't just have those two roster spots not contribute offensively. I mean, you look at what they did last year, and again, this is kind of tough because it was really the playoffs that accentuated it. So I am hesitant to give their year-long numbers, but Pache hit .238, OPS of .730. Johan Rojas hit .302 in the regular season with an OPS of .771. But then as soon as they get to the postseason, pitchers realized how they can get around him. And, I mean, Rojas was a total liability in every important spot. I just, over the long course of a season, does his defense work? 100%. But you need offensive contributions from everywhere. I think we have passed the days, except for catcher. That I'll say. But I think we are past the days of just having defense-only players. You need guys that can actually do things. Because there's no DH, it's an offensive-ish driven league, and you can't just have those automatic outs. Like part of what made the Braves so good in the regular season is because 1 through 9, they were all good and they were all contributing. Now, again, Rojas was okay in his limited time, but pitchers learned how to get around him. High fastballs. I just can't have that at 9. It's like you have a pitcher. So entering the year with both of these guys as a starter or playing big roles, I can't have that. I can't have two roster spots after what we saw in the playoffs last year dedicated to offensive liabilities. Like, everybody looks at Pache, and it's like, oh, you know, we want to trade for Trout, want to sign somebody. What do they do with Pache? I don't know. All I do know is that I don't think you can enter the year with him in a starting position. You can't. You saw what that looked like in the playoffs last season. It just wasn't good enough. Wasn't nearly as productive as you needed. So that's, I mean, that's number one. I like having a defense specialist. I like putting in Johan Rojas in the 7th inning or the 8th inning as a substitution if you're up and you need defense. I like one roster spot dedicated to that. I don't need two of them. I don't. There isn't a big difference between Rojas and Pache as things stand right now. I think Pache's a little bit better at the plate, given what he saw in limited time last year. Rojas, a lot more potential. I think Rojas is better with the glove, but they are defense specialist players, and I can't have them in my everyday lineup. You're pretty much ceding one lineup spot to a guy that's not going to hit. And, I mean, if you want to compete with the Braves, that's not how you do it. So that's number one. I think people are getting wrong that it's okay to enter with Rojas and Pache playing significant roles. Number two, it's crazy to me that people think the Phillies need a traditional closer this offseason. It is insane. Everybody looks at Hader. I think, you know what it is? I think people are somewhat thirsty for the Phillies to do anything. They're just thirsty for a move. They want to get excited. They want the headline. They want the notification that says Phillies sign X. Yay, we could go into the year with Hader only pitching the 9th inning. I don't like Josh Hader. I've made my thoughts clear on him. He's going to get $100 million for a guy that refuses to pitch more than 3 outs and only will pitch in save situations. I think that's pathetic. Seriously. He's a really good pitcher when he's out there. I don't think he's really a team player when it comes to that. He is inherently selfish in terms of how he requires his manager to use him. And yeah, you look at traditional closers and there's success there. And I mean, the biggest thing it comes down to, I think people don't like the idea of entering with what they did last year because it, say, didn't work in game 4 in Arizona or in, what was that, game 2 in Atlanta. But I don't think that was the structure of the Phillies bullpen. I think that was just Kimbrel being bad. Like, Kimbrel just stinks. So the problem is the quote-unquote closer you had, or the guy you had primarily doing that role, was just terrible and was a total liability in the playoffs. So it's more how can you actually get reliable arms, less than you don't need a guy that pitches every 9th inning. I think that is something that is gone. That is not something that is required in today's age. There are good ones. Edwin Diaz is good at it. But still, I don't think that is a necessity for teams winning. I don't. Not to mention, when you're out on the free agent market I think those players cost too much money. They're inflated by the save statistic because everyone's looking for saves. How can we get saves? It's like saves is the most arbitrary thing ever. Team has to be up by 1 to 3 runs, but it can't be 4. It has to be the 9th inning. But if you enter and it's a 4-run lead when the runner's on and this and that, it's like, okay. So a pitcher coming in with the bases loaded in a 1-run or a tie game even and getting out of that with no outs is technically less impressive statistically than a pitcher that comes in with a 3-run lead, gives up 2 runs, and gets a save. I don't like that. But that's the world we've lived in. And I think closers get more money because teams are searching for saves. Now, teams have gotten smarter about this, but still, I think it is there. I think closers traditionally are overpriced, that you're paying too much for maybe the pitcher you're getting. So there's going to be a guy later I talk about. I've outlined the guys that I like that the Phillies can go out and get. Josh Hader's not one of them. They don't need a traditional closer. They just need more good options in the bullpen. And ideally, I don't know, a Taiwan Walker that could start in the postseason so you don't need to use Sanchez. Like, Rob Thompson managed his way to having to use Kimbrel. Part of that was Taiwan Walker was unstartable. They couldn't put him out there on the mound. So no need for a closer. That's number two. Number three, I don't like the idea that the team needs, quote-unquote, juice entering spring training. That there needs to be a signing or there needs to be a trade because of how last season ended and because in previous off seasons there's been juice. This whole fan juice thing I don't think is needed at all. I think it will be there once the season begins. I know, well, I'm a sicko. I'm a sucker. I'll be there. But I think people will forgive the team quickly if they see them actually start the season well. A big problem with 2 years ago under Girardi, they sucked. And then it took a while, or it took until they got to the postseason for everybody to be in on the team. And then last year under Thompson, I mean, they were awful again until June. And then people were in, but it was still so, like, the bad start is so weird to come to terms with. If they start as a competent team, then you're actually looking at a division contender. I think the fan buzz will be generated from that because there is the full year of Turner. And there's the full year of Harper being healthy. And you have Nola back. And all these things that plagued the team last regular season are gone. It's like you're entering the season very well positioned. Last year, there was some turmoil. Yeah, you added Turner, but Hoskins goes down and Harper's not ready. It's like all that fan buzz, I think, will be built by just a competent start. That's all they have to do. They don't need Mike Trout to sell out the stadium once April and May comes around. I just think they need the most sustainable team. I don't need their entire money wad being blown this offseason. I mean, kind of like it was last offseason in the name of maybe not being able to make a move later. They need a team that can get them through the season. They don't need to go win the World Series before the year. The Dodgers have won the World Series before the year. We'll see how that works out. It might work out very well. I mean, great players they've signed. But we talked about it a couple weeks ago. I think the team that has spent the most money in free agency has not advanced past the division round, say, in like 20 years. That was something similar to that. But that's a long-term trend. I don't think a signing this offseason will be the difference between the team winning, the Phillies that is, winning or not winning the World Series this year. So that's three. Number four, again, I have 6 of these. I'm trying to get through them kind of quick, but you get the general idea. There are things that I am becoming more categorically against as the season goes along. Number four, I mean, this is more of a discussion during last season, but I think a repeat of 2023, or how about this? Put it this way. I think those saying that a repeat of 2023 would be a failure for Aaron Nola is total nonsense. People pointed as soon as the contract is signed, oh, he better live up to it, or he better actually pitch like this amount of money. One, neglecting what the market is right now, neglecting what it actually costs for pitching. Like, he's not making that much more money than Taiwan Walker. I think a success for Nola would be something similar-ish, keyword, to 2023, where maybe he's not amazing in the regular season like he had been previously, like 2018, but something good, something in the mid-threes. Like, last year was a 4.46. Okay, That is not acceptable. But something like sub four, something around there, but he's not dominant. And then as soon as you get to the playoffs, that gear's turned and he pitches like he did in the postseason. And there's the pitch clock thing that he's adjusting to. I think this whole idea that he has to be an ace all season for the money to be worth it, again, is total nonsense. If you've listened to the show, you know how I feel about this. His value is in the innings he pitches, in his durability, and then come playoff time, his actual pretty much stellar performances, minus a couple starts. But you'll be hard-pressed, minus Zach Wheeler, to find me other starters that are amazing all the time and then also just never get touched in the playoffs. There are times where the best of them get hit around in the postseason. So I would, if you told me a repeat of 2023 season, which includes, okay, knock, I don't know, 0.3 off of the ERA. Give me a 4 ERA, honestly, and 200 innings and no injury and in a good spot entering the postseason. I'll take that. That's all the team needs. Seriously, that is all the team needs. It's an offensive team that should be able to win games when Nola gives up four runs. What is it? Three runs through six is a 4-5. So you get it. 2.5 runs through six. Philly should win those games. If this is an offensive team, like, or if they are as good as we hope they are and expect them to be, then they need to go, and I mean, they need to be 100% winning those games. So that's that. Number five, any critique, and this comes with, you know, my dear coworker who I love, Tom Kelly, can't get over Rob Thompson's decision to go to Kimbrel. Can't get over what led to him going to Kimbrel as well. But any critique of Rob Thompson based on one in-game decision, which is a bad one, and that I adamantly disagreed with at the time, and I continue to disagree with, but any long-term question, anybody who's pointing to whether he can be a long-term winner here and pointing to that one decision or the year before the decision to keep Wheeler in and not put in, or excuse me, the decision to pull Wheeler and put in Alvarado against Alvarez, anyone pointing to Rob Thompson's long-term viability with those things as big hindrances, I'm not going to say is a total moron, but I'm going to express my intense displeasure with that one opinion they have. He's been the manager through two incredibly tough seasons. First, post-Girardi, team's a disaster. How do you turn it around? Talent's there. Team's a disaster. Team stinks. Girardi gets fired. How do you turn it around? And then, last year, well, also, first year, Harper gets hurt, right? It's not like it was all rosy throughout that. Second year, no Rhys Hoskins all season. He gets hurt in spring training. Harper is not himself until August or July, and you have to manage through that. And also, he's had a bullpen that, I mean, it's been pitching pretty well, and that's because of how he's managed it. Like this guy right now, you would be hard-pressed to find me three better managers in Major League Baseball. Three better ones. I think Bruce Bochy is clearly one. He just won. You give him that. He's won now 4 World Series, I believe. I think Thompson is right up there with the best in the sport because of what he gets out of teams that are good and are talented and have money invested, but are somewhat flawed and have big flaws, and what he gets out of them to perfectly position them each year to have postseason success. I mean, 2 years in a row, beating the Braves in the NLDS, I know the taste is not good, but that is something to celebrate. And they got him to the World Series 1 year, and the other, you point to Game 6 and Game 7. I contend, I don't know exactly what he could have done. There's the moving Bohm out of the four hole, whatever, he homered in Game 7. There was something about the team that wasn't showing up. So you could point to the one Kimbrel thing, and I agree, it was bad. But still, in terms of the long-term viability, to say that he is either not a championship manager or that you don't like the way he goes about it because of that decision is assuming he won't learn from it, is ignoring all of the good that is going on with his job and the job he's done, and also assuming that he will not learn from having to use Kimbrel there. I think he will. And hopefully Dombrowski will learn not to have Kimbrel on the roster. But you get what I'm saying. There's weird undercurrents of Thompson doubt or Thompson dislike, which I think is total nonsense. Seriously, the team has become relevant and won at an alarming clip the minute he has taken over. There is a cause and effect there. There is. So that's number five. And finally, number six. This is a baseball-wide thing. And mainly it happens with the Dodgers. But I completely disagree with the thought that the Phillies are currently losing ground on the rest of the NL and the rest of the NL East because of, quote, lack of moves. Okay? Aaron Nola re-signing, that is a move, believe it or not. And I know he is the same pitcher that was here. But if you had swapped in someone else for Nola, I mean, it's the same thing. It's just who would be better in that role. I think it's Nola. So that's a move. 100% re-signing him is. But everybody, it is a default that if the Dodgers sign the greatest thing to ever happen to baseball and then another young 25-year-old stud pitcher and then also trade for another pitcher, everybody in the sport is losing ground to the Dodgers. Everybody is. This isn't unique to the Phillies. And some small trade wouldn't be something that counteracts that. It wouldn't. But you look around the NL East right now. The Marlins have not spent a dollar. And they might be shopping Luzardo. So they're moving backwards. They're cutting payroll. The Mets are in a weird, weird position where they're signing Harrison Bader and Sean Manaea. They're not taking big steps forward. I don't think they're going to compete in 2024. And the Braves have traded for Chris Sale. That's it. They're not making groundbreaking pitching moves. They wanted Nola. If you think Chris Sale is the difference between the Braves beating the Phillies and not, then something else is probably wrong with the Phillies. I think I worded that right. You know what I'm saying. Chris Sale is not the end-all be-all to them winning. It's the team actually showing up in the postseason. So I don't think the Phillies are losing much ground. I think everybody's losing ground on the Dodgers. I think that's an unfair thing to point out and then look back and say the Phillies haven't caught up with them. Nobody is. But in terms of their immediate contemporaries in the division, they're fine. They are fine. And they'll make some moves. It's just, as I said at the top, it's not how baseball works. Like, we shouldn't expect these markets to materialize quickly and actually have things move and things happen. Like we do other sports, but whatever. Maybe I'm foolish. All right, I'm Ben Kenny. It is on the clock. We will step away. When we come back, there are things happening in Philly's world. We will talk about them. Rumors, rumblings, signings, question mark. And then other moves across Major League Baseball. I just mentioned one. I want to elaborate on that. A lot coming up. I'm Ben Kenny. It's on the clock.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
What is Toyota affordability? It's buying smart. Right now, your local Toyota dealer has great deals available on some of the most reliable trucks on the market, like the off-road ready Tacoma, rugged full-size Tundra, and the legendary 4Runner, each with the space, tech, and features to handle it all, from the worksite to the trails. It means driving for less, with efficient hybrid options available, extending your overall driving range, and delivering great MPGs, meaning bigger savings at the pump without sacrificing power. And it means trading for more. The Tacoma and Tundra are ranked number one and number two in resale value over all vehicles according to Kelley Blue Book, which can mean thousands more than average when it's time to trade in. That's Toyota affordability. Buy smart, drive for less, and trade for more. Shop Toyota.com or your local dealer for deals and details. Vehicles projected resale value is specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit KellyBlueBooksKBB.com. Toyota brand average resale value is 53% versus the average vehicle at 45%. Toyota, let's go places.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
All right, welcome back. Ben Kenny with you. It is On the Clock, Phillies 24-7 and 94 WIP. So, as I started the show with, I mean, the offseason is moving at a snail's pace, the baseball offseason. And, I mean, I don't love it, but there are actually some reasons why, or I guess some fallouts from it. The market for veteran bats is almost non-existent. The Dodgers signed Teoscar Hernandez. Like, that's it. Rhys Hoskins is still out there. Soler's still out there. Good players. Good players that can be big contributors on a team. They're still out there. And they're almost the DH types, right? Ones that now in the NL would serve as DH. Again, Rhys Hoskins, Soler, things of that nature. The starting pitching market has not seen, post-Yamamoto, big splashes. There have been, you know, a Manaea here and there. The Royals guys, the vets that stink that they just want to eat innings. Lugo. Waka. But the market has not seen huge splashes with Snell, Montgomery, Stroman, those guys. So there's that. And then the bullpen market seems quiet as ever. There haven't been substantial bullpen signings yet. Hader, for one, obviously. Jordan Hicks, Robert Stevenson, Hector Neris. Not, you know, who's who of the best relievers in baseball, but still good pitchers. Pitchers that are contribute. That, I mean, I frankly want on the team. So that's all happening. And here are the actual tangible headlines I saw regarding the Phillies this week. Number one, Jim Bowden of, I think, The Athletic, said the Phillies could target Whit Merrifield or Tony Kemp in a utility role. Yes, yes, yes. You've heard me address this, mainly Merrifield. And that's what, I mean, the Merrifield discussion parked the sparked the nonsense on Twitter about, oh, look, you know, if they sign him, where are they going to put Pache? Where are they going to put Rojas? I don't know, the minors, somewhere where they can learn how to hit. Merrifield would contribute. That would be great. That would be my ideal next move. I laid out my perfect offseason. Nola's done. I even overshot how much he'd be worth. Whatever. I'm keeping Castellanos, as I said. Likely worth more here than elsewhere. I've gotten over his terrible stretch at the end of the playoffs. I find a platoon in left field. Merrifield is part of that. That's my next move, and then you go to the bullpen. So that's that. There's the Marcus Stroman bit. His name has flown under the radar, generally. Morosi said, quote, I think the Phillies are a really good possibility for Stroman. He's a durable arm. For a team like the Phillies, you look at their infield defense, blah, 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 the ground balls, whatever. No. I am not paying any money to Marcus Stroman. He's better than Taijuan Walker. He would be an upgrade tangibly over some of the guys. But I'm out. Not my kind of pitcher. Not a guy that I really rely upon to be great all season and in the playoffs. He's streaky. I think eventually the bottom's going to fall out. He's old. And I mean, sometimes you just can't touch him. Other times, it's like batting practice. There's just something about the way, it just never seems like it's working. I can't put my finger on it. But no, I don't want Marcus Stroman. It was then, John Heyman said, the Yankees is the favorite. So the Phillies are smart enough. They're not going to overexert themselves and pay too much money to a pitcher that is a little bit better than Taijuan Walker. They're past that. They're smart. So there's that. The final bit, which I am all over if it is possible and if it is real. The Red Sox, as we have discussed, are an abject disaster. Total disaster. Ownership doesn't care. They're trying to cut costs. They're trying to increase cash flow. They think the fans will just show up. So they're not out there signing anybody. They're not improving their team. And part of that is they would be open to trades for their players. Masataka Yoshida, Japanese outfielder that they signed last offseason, had a really solid year. Like, really dependable, solid player. He's not Otani, right? But he hit 289 last season OPS around 800. Like, good contact, a good dependable hitter. Not a lot of overwhelming power, but the guy makes contact. And on a Phillies team that needs dependable contact, I mean, if you could somehow pry Yoshida from the Red Sox and put him in left, that is the upgrade we talk about. You don't need a platoon at that point. You just put him out there. Are you too left-handed heavy? Maybe a little bit. But you work around that because the guy is that good at hitting. Think about the upgrade. And you could have, you know, then you platoon Martian, whatever. There's your Pache. Just not as an everyday player. But think of the offensive production you get out of that spot if you get Yoshida. Not to mention, you're trying to get into the Japanese market for players. You tried with Yamamoto. You're going to try in the future. Having Yoshida is a big first step to that. I think the guy's really good. But I don't know what it's going to cost. Controllable pitching, a prospect, whatever. I would do that deal. I think that's a good long-term play, short-term play, all happening at the same time. Upgrading, like the big upgrades on this team right now, left field still, and bullpen, and maybe starting pitching, and that's it. And he fills one of those roles, so 100% I'm in on Yoshida. So those are the tangible pieces. There's also this. Arbitration did happen. I opened the show being a little bit angry at it, about having to care about it. It's just, and you know what? I go through this when it comes to my fandom of college football, my fandom of a lot of sports. Everybody loves, for some reason, everyone's, oh, look, the ratings are so good. And they love things that'll be better products on television. Everybody loves rich people making more money, for lack of a better term. Everybody, oh, the ratings are great. Yay, I'm happy. It doesn't help me at all. I don't care. That's what arbitration is. It is a part of the baseball salary system and contract system that I know about, that I'm very familiar with, but it is not the reason I'm a baseball fan. It is not the thing in the offseason I say, oh, can't wait to see what arbitration numbers these guys get. Like, it's not my money. I'm not getting paid. Now, unless for the really egregious cases, like Corbin Burns in Milwaukee, all this stuff is usually figured out. So, here are the numbers. Jeff Hoffman, $2.2 million. Should note, he is a free agent after this season. So a repeat of last year, big payday for Jeff Hoffman. If he entered the free market today, I don't think the market would really be there. So it's also interesting to see what that market is for a Jeff Hoffman, because there are a bunch of them. And Stevenson now is actually similar to what Hoffman is. So Hoffman, $2.2 mil, I mean, that's a bargain, objectively, for what he brought. He was really good throughout last season. If he repeats it, he's going to get paid. Ranger Suarez, $5.05 million. Two more years of club control. This year and next year. I don't think he needs to be extended. Because he's been injured. The durability's not there. In the playoffs, this dude is a freaking killer. But if he could actually do that throughout the regular season, then you're looking at a big price pitcher. But he has a year or 2 years to prove that. You don't need to re-sign him yet. But that's another objective bargain. $5.05 million for that big important piece in your rotation. And Mundo Sosa, I think he got $1.7 million, whatever. I would like to see more from him this season. Him not really being a big option last year, I think, hurt. It seemed like he regressed a little bit offensively. Again, it's which bench bats can you find that can contribute in the postseason? I know that he can come in and play on a Tuesday in Pittsburgh. I don't care. At this point, it's about how do we build a World Series contender, which is who are the most productive offensive players we could find for the roster. So I like Sosa, but I need to see more from him this season. So, I mean, what are we still waiting on at this point? The Wheeler extension is next. That's objective. I saw there was a piece of mid-offseason grades, as if anything's freaking happened to grade. Philly's got a C because they looked at Nola, and that was it. But and it said they were in on Yamamoto, which never had a chance. But what's next? Extend Zach Wheeler. Find those utility left fielder, bat off the bench additions. And then bullpen moves. And I did, this was actually part of the previous bit. I put it below it on the Google Doc like an idiot. I was watching John Heyman's Bleacher Report stream yesterday. That guy can ramble forever. It's just information, information, information. Like, I'm trying to write something he says, and I look up and I'm, you know, I miss however long. So this is what I want to highlight from Heyman's stream. He said the Braves offseason is close to done. That was one of his leading notes. The Braves offseason is close to done, which is unbelievable. They traded for Chris Sale. That's it. They're running back the same team, which was great. Don't get me wrong. But oh my God, you've lost in the division series twice in a row, and there isn't anything to change, to maybe improve. That pitching staff is not good enough to win a World Series. Mark that down. Add Chris Sale to it. I don't care. It's not good enough. Bryce Elder was starting game 3 in Citizens Bank Park. How do you think that was going to go? How? You have Strider for 2 of the games, Freed for 1, and then what? Chris Sale's going to do it now, and then Elder? At game 7? There's 7-game series? Bryce Elder starting? They're the Braves. They'll figure it out. I know. They're going to be great, but Braves are close to done. That's a funny note. There's that. There is the Phillies. Something he heard are the one team he has heard that could be in on, or one of the teams that he heard could be in on Jordan Hicks, the reliever. That is a yes, 100%. That is like, you give me, who do I want to sign the rest of this offseason? Give me Whit Merrifield or Adam Duvall, I'd be okay with, but Whit Merrifield to play left. Give me, I mean, I would take Snell if it's a bargain, but realistic brain. Merrifield, Jordan Hicks, one more reliever. Maybe Neris, Robert Stevenson, whatever. And maybe another bench bat, but that could be it. So that'd be huge. That would be, I'm all in on. He also said Bellinger could be a thought for the Phillies. Now, this is what's funny. This team, because of where they are being mentioned with everybody. Every free agent out there, oh, the Phillies could be in. Part of that is, Heyman is a puppet of Scott Boras. Not to his detriment, but objectively. Like, Heyman is Boras's guy. So when Boras needs one of his free agents, Bellinger, that doesn't have a big market, because he hasn't signed yet, the money must not totally be there. He says, Heyman, throw the Phillies out there. Let's drive the price up. I need interest in my guy. So I think that's what's happening. Bellinger makes no sense. They're not paying that much money for another position player, which also kind of restricts what they can do later. If they're going to be driven into the third bracket of whatever, I think it's with pitching. I don't think it's with Cody Bellinger, who I don't even love. Stroman, Bellinger, not for some reason, just eye test feel, not my guys. So I don't think there's real interest, but I should pass that along. So there you go. That's what's happening in Phillies land. Arbitration has happened. Awesome. And just a lot of rumors. Nothing of substance. Nothing. But the good thing is, while the Dodgers continue to do their thing, as I said, everybody's falling behind to them. That's not a problem. That's just, it is what it is. It is the nature of what's happening. Not a problem. There are some very minor other things that adjacently affect the team. So we'll talk about those when we come back. I am Ben Kenny. It is On the Clock. All right, welcome back. Ben Kenny, On the Clock, Phillies 24-7, 94 WIP on January 11th. As, you know, I do this segment at the end of the show, always. All the free agent moves, everything that's happening, we touch on it. What does it mean? I have like 3 things to talk about because not much is happening, which I'm not a fan of. And that is one theme from the show. The themes from today's show. Number one, baseball needs to start dominating or at least being relevant in the offseason. Number two, I think people are kind of delirious when it comes to talking about the team next year. And I don't know where number 3 is, but whatever. Let's move on. MLB's biggest moves, the moves that are happening. There was such a weird trade that went on. Passan put this out on 6 days ago, the 5th. The San Francisco Giants and Seattle Mariners are in agreement on a trade that will send former Cy Young winner Robbie Ray to the Giants for Mitch Haniger and Anthony DeSclafani. Weird move, because Mitch Haniger is like a classic Mariner, so they get him back, but he's whatever, fine. Ray won Cy Young 2 years ago, maybe now 3, but had Tommy John and won't be back until the All-Star break. So it's a swap of like, all right, the Giants get Ray, who might contribute in the playoffs. The Mariners cut payroll, but they're paying Mitch Haniger $20 million. I don't really get it, to be honest. I don't get the whole thing. I don't think it's a very substantial move, and I kind of get what each team was doing, but it isn't like a, when you say, oh, you know, former Cy Young winner traded, you think there's a big hook there? The hook is that the Cy Young winner's out like most of the year, and they didn't give up that much to get him. So, I mean, it could be a boom. Robbie Ray could hit. He also, I mean, could bust. He's a very up and down pitcher. He has an opt out also after this season. So, I mean, I think he will not opt out given the fact he might not get more money on the open market. But you know what I'm saying. It might be a long-term play to try to, I don't know, maybe scratch something together. It was a weird move. I'll say that. The Dodgers signed Teoscar Hernandez. This was the big signing of the week. 1 year, $23.5 million. That is right. 1 year, $23.5 million. The Dodgers have now spent $1.2 billion this offseason. Every other team combined, $1.23 billion. It's literally one and one. That is how crazy that is. So, I mean, this isn't prorated money. It's all now. So, he joins Ohtani, Yamamoto, Glasnow. Big offseason additions. That's a right-handed hitter. A lot of pop, power, bat. Good addition to the lineup. Again, he's one of those Hoskins, Soler, utility bats. That'll contribute. It's probably a good deal. That's a crazy number, though, if you think about it. I don't think he's a $23.5 million player, but that's what it commands. That's what a short-term deal also does. It's more, the story there is that the Dodgers are still going and that there's no sign of them stopping ever. So as I said, I mean, everybody's falling behind to them. It is not some big news story if the Dodgers are surpassing you at the moment, given what they've done. That's happened to everybody. And again, that doesn't decide who's going to win the World Series. Moving on. One of the Japanese pitchers we talked about last week that, I mean, the Phillies were not in on, the Cubs signed Shota Imanaga. He actually pitched the final game of the World Baseball Classic, lefty. I think he's pretty good. This guy is my kind of pitcher. And I don't know how exactly to describe it, but I watch him pitch, and I'm like, he works. It works. It's a lefty arm, doesn't overpower you. He just knows how to pitch. So I like him. Now, I don't know the exact deal. Here it is. It's a 4-year, $53 million deal with an option to extend to 5 years, 80. Apparently there's some weird, like the money is confusing on it. But, I mean, for the Cubs, I like it. He's a number three. He's a solid three. Maybe he could pitch to be a two. The Cubs need a one, so that doesn't do the job. But it's a good step. I think it's a good signing. I like him as a player. Now, I mean, he's kind of replacing Stroman. Now, it is a lefty-heavy rotation, too. They have the kid Wicks. They have him. They have Justin Steele, who had a great year last year. So a lot of lefties there. I don't know how they're going to find a one. I think they'll go into next year with this. And they're building. Like, they're not there yet. They're not a big contender yet. But they had a good year last year. They're trending in the right direction. I think it's a good move. The last one, and the funniest one, and I talked about this a bit earlier, but the New York Mets signed Sean Manaea to a 2-year, $28 million deal. Now, if I'm not mistaken, he was still on the Padres last season. This is probably something I should have checked. There's nothing I know Sean Manaea for more, aside from I had him in fantasy baseball when he was an Athletic early on. Nothing I know him more for than getting obliterated by the Phillies in the NLCS. To the point you kind of felt bad for the guy. He got crushed. I think it was game two when Nola ended up blowing the 4-0 lead. Whatever. They lost. They won the series. But the bigger one, they brought him in relief. Game four, when it was either Falter or Syndergaard. I think it was Falter. They started Bailey Falter in an NLCS game. And you're telling me this team isn't better than it is or than it was. They started Bailey Falter. Padres score four in the first inning, jump on him. And then Clevinger comes out. Gives four right back, totally crushed, totally obliterated. And then the game's tied, and it's a bullpen battle. It's like Brogdon or Bilotti or whoever comes in. And then in comes Sean Manaea, and Hoskins takes him deep, and I think Harper got the double off him too. I know him as the guy that just got totally, totally crushed in that game. And as I've checked, he was on the Giants last year, 4-4 ERA. He's fine. Like, he is an average pitcher. Average. He hasn't had a peak season at all. He's had peak starts. He had a great start to the year a couple years ago, but that is not a guy with really potential of being a number one. So that's a fill the rotation kind of move for the Mets. That's not a big, we're going to compete. We need a guy that can actually start. So I think that's good news for the Phillies. I'm excited to watch him pitch here because it doesn't work well for him, to say the least. All right, it is on the clock. Ben Kenny, we close it out. The stupidest thing I saw on Twitter today. I'll tell you what that is coming up. All right, we're back on the clock. Ben Kenny closing it out with you. We will talk next Friday. As always, hopefully there are things that happen in the meantime. Things to talk about that isn't just random pontification about the season. But I did want to touch on this. The single stupidest thing I saw on Twitter today. I've mentioned at least Wander Franco in this segment because he was one of the rising stars in the game that has been alleged to had relations with minors and then allegedly paid hush money and is now in the legal process of fighting that. All accounts seem to be that he did it. That aside, Ken Rosenthal tweeted this article. It's one of those, you know, big my column articles. Rosenthal, Wander Franco situation shows risk in investing long-term in players in their early 20s. It's still published. The entire purpose of what he's putting out there is that it was risky for the Rays to have signed him because now he turned to be a pedophile. That's a bold take. That's not necessarily a take I agree with. That's not the spin I'd put on this. More so, the Rays and the Brewers, etc., are forced into investing in these young guys, as we've talked about, because the financial structure of the sport is grossly unfair. But, I mean, come on. The guy is great on the field. I mean, how in the world would a team know, oh, we want to invest in this guy, he's the next Bryce Harper, but we're scared he might have bad relations? No one knows that. And when it happens, it is surprising because it is rare, because it is wrong. Not connecting the two here. So there you go. That was what I saw. It's dumb. Everyone's piling on Twitter, too. All right. That's going to do it. We thank you, as always, for checking us out. We will talk next Friday. Until then, see ya.
Hey, y'all, it's Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. Ever order furniture online and wonder, what if? Like, what if it doesn't fit?
Little to the left. No, wait!
Yep, should have gone with Wayfair. Or what if it doesn't hold up?
That sofa was 4 days old.
Should have ordered from Wayfair. Or what if it's that material that makes that noise?
It was a sofa, I swear.
With Wayfair, there's no what if. Just style you love, quality you can trust, and furniture that actually fits your life. Visit Wayfair.com or download the Wayfair app.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
What is Toyota affordability? It all starts with buying smart. And your Toyota dealer has great deals available to qualified customers on reliable cars and SUVs, including the redesigned RAV4, spacious Grand Highlander, sporty Camrys, and Corollas. It means driving for less with efficient hybrid and plug-in hybrid options available throughout the lineup, extending your overall driving range and delivering great MPGs, saving you money at the pump. And it means trading for more. Toyota is known for building long-lasting vehicles. And as the best resale value brand, according to Kelley Blue Book, your Toyota can be worth thousands more than average when it's time to trade in. That's Toyota affordability. Buy smart, drive for less, and trade for more. Shop Toyota.com or your local dealer for deals and details. Vehicles projected resale value is specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit KellyBlueBooksKBB.com. Toyota brand average resale value is 53% versus the average vehicle at 45%. Toyota, let's go places.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right, welcome back. Ben Kenny on the clock. Phillies 24-7, 94 WIP on January 11th. As, you know, I do this segment at the end of the show, always. All the free agent moves, everything that's happening, we touch on it. What does it mean? I have like three things to talk about because not much is happening, which I'm not a fan of. And that is one theme from the show. The themes from today's show. Number one, baseball needs to start dominating or at least being relevant in the offseason. Number two, I think people are kind of delirious when it comes to talking about the team next year. And I don't know where number three is, but whatever. Let's move on. MLB's biggest moves, the moves that are happening. There was such a weird trade that went on. Passan put this out on 6 days ago, the 5th. The San Francisco Giants and Seattle Mariners are in agreement on a trade that will send former Cy Young winner Robbie Ray to the Giants for Mitch Haniger and Anthony DeSclafani. Weird move, because Mitch Haniger is like a classic Mariner, so they get him back, but he's whatever, fine. Ray won Cy Young 2 years ago, maybe now three, but had Tommy John and won't be back until the All-Star break. So it's a swap of like, all right, the Giants get Ray, who might contribute in the playoffs. The Mariners cut payroll, but they're paying Mitch Haniger $20 million. I don't really get it, to be honest. I don't get the whole thing. I don't think it's a very substantial move, and I kind of get what each team was doing, but it isn't like a... When you say, oh, you know, former Cy Young winner traded, you think there's a big hook there? The hook is that the Cy Young winner's out like most of the year, and they didn't give up that much to get him. So, I mean, it could be a boom. Robbie Ray could hit. He also, I mean, could bust. He's a very up and down pitcher. He has an opt out also after this season. So, I mean, I think he will not opt out given the fact he might not get more money on the open market, but you know what I'm saying. It might be a long-term play to try to, I don't know, maybe scratch something together. It was a weird move. I'll say that. The Dodgers signed Teoscar Hernandez. This was the big signing of the week. 1 year, $23.5 million. That is right. 1 year, $23.5 mil. The Dodgers have now spent $1.2 billion this offseason. Every other team combined, $1.23 billion. It's literally one and one. That is how crazy that is. So, I mean, this isn't prorated money. It's all now. So, he joins Ohtani, Yamamoto, Glasnow. Big offseason additions. That's a right-handed hitter. A lot of pop, power, bat. Good addition to the lineup. Again, he's one of those Hoskins, Soler, utility bats. That'll contribute. It's probably a good deal. That's a crazy number, though, if you think about it. I don't think he's a $23.5 million player, but that's what it commands. That's what a short-term deal also does. It's more, the story there is that the Dodgers are still going and that there's no sign of them stopping ever. So as I said, I mean, everybody's falling behind to them. It is not some big news story if the Dodgers are surpassing you at the moment, given what they've done. That's happened to everybody. And again, that doesn't decide who's going to win the World Series. Moving on. One of the Japanese pitchers we talked about last week that, I mean, the Phillies were not in on. The Cubs signed Shota Imanaga. He actually pitched the final game of the World Baseball Classic, lefty. I think he's pretty good. He is, this guy is my kind of pitcher. And I don't know how exactly to describe it, but I watch him pitch, and I'm like, he works. It works. It's a lefty arm, doesn't overpower you. He just knows how to pitch. So I like him. Now, I don't know the exact deal. Here it is. It's a four-year, $53 million deal with an option to extend to 5 years, 80. I don't, apparently there's some weird, like the money is confusing on it. But, I mean, for the Cubs, I like it. He's a number three. He's a solid three. Maybe he could pitch to be a two. The Cubs need a one, so that doesn't do the job. But it's a good step. I think it's a good signing. I like him as a player. Now, I mean, he's kind of replacing Stroman. Now, it is a lefty-heavy rotation, too. They have the kid Wicks. They have him. They have Justin Steele, who had a great year last year. So a lot of lefties there. I don't know how they're going to find a one. I think they'll go into next year with this. And they're building. Like, they're not there yet. They're not a big contender yet. But they had a good year last year. They're trending in the right direction. I think it's a good move. The last one, and the funniest one, and I talked about this a bit earlier, but the New York Mets signed Sean Manaea to a two-year, $28 million deal. Now, if I'm not mistaken, he was still on the Padres last season. This is probably something I should have checked. There's nothing I know Sean Manaea for more, aside from I had him in fantasy baseball when he was an Athletic early on. Nothing I know him more for than getting obliterated by the Phillies in the NLCS. Like, to the point you kind of felt bad for the guy. He got crushed, I think it was game two, when Nola ended up blowing the 4-0 lead, whatever. They lost. They won the series. But the bigger one, they brought him in relief. Game four, when it was either Falter or Syndergaard. I think it was Falter. They started Bailey Falter in an NLCS game. And you're telling me this team isn't better than it is, or than it was. They started Bailey Falter. Padres score four in the first inning, jump on him. And then Clevinger comes out, gives four right back. Totally crushed. Totally obliterated. And then the game's tied, and it's a bullpen battle. It's like Brogdon or Bellotti or whoever comes in. And then in comes Sean Manaea, and Hoskins takes him deep, and I think Harper got the double off him too. I know him as the guy that just got totally crushed in that game. And as I've checked, he was on the Giants last year, 4.4 ERA. He's fine. Like, he is an average pitcher. Average. He hasn't had a peak season at all. He's had peak starts. He had a great start to the year a couple years ago, but that is not a guy with really potential of being a number one. So that's a fill the rotation kind of move for the Mets. That's not a big, we're going to compete. We need a guy that can actually start. So I think that's good news for the Phillies. I'm excited to watch him pitch here because it doesn't work well for him, to say the least. All right. It is on the clock, Ben Kenny. We close it out. The stupidest thing I saw on Twitter today. I'll tell you what that is coming up. All right, we're back on the clock. Ben Kenny closing it out with you. We will talk next Friday. As always, hopefully there are things that happen in the meantime. Things to talk about that isn't just random pontification about the season. But I did want to touch on this. The single stupidest thing I saw on Twitter today. I've mentioned at least Wander Franco in this segment because he was one of the rising stars in the game that has been alleged to had relations with minors and then allegedly paid hush money and is now in the legal process of fighting that. All accounts seem to be that he did it. That aside, Ken Rosenthal tweeted this article. It's one of those, you know, big my column articles. Rosenthal: Wander Franco situation shows risk in investing long-term in players in their early 20s. It's still published. The entire purpose of what he's putting out there is that it was risky for the Rays to have signed him because now he turned to be a pedophile. That's a bold take. That's not necessarily a take I agree with. That's not the spin I'd put on this. More so, the Rays and the Brewers, etc., are forced into investing in these young guys, as we've talked about. because the financial structure of the sport is grossly unfair. But I mean, come on, the guy is great on the field. I mean, how in the world would a team know, oh, we want to invest in this guy, he's the next Bryce Harper, but we're scared he might have bad relations? No one knows that. And when it happens, it is surprising because it is rare, because it is wrong. Not connecting the two here. So there you go. That was what I saw. It's dumb. Everyone's piling on Twitter too. All right, that's going to do it. We thank you as always for checking us out. We will talk next Friday. Until then, see ya.
Hey, y'all, it's Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. Ever order furniture online and wonder, what if? Like, what if it doesn't fit?
Little to the left. Oh, wait!
Yep, should have gone with Wayfair. Or what if it doesn't hold up?
That sofa was 4 days old.
Should have ordered from Wayfair. Or what if it's that material that makes that noise?
It was a sofa, I swear.
With Wayfair, there's no what if. Just style you love, quality you can trust, and furniture that actually fits your life. Visit Wayfair.com or download the Wayfair app.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
What is Toyota affordability? It's buying smart. Right now, your local Toyota dealer has great deals available on some of the most reliable trucks on the market, like the off-road ready Tacoma, rugged full-size Tundra, and the legendary 4Runner, each with the space, tech, and features to handle it all, from the worksite to the trails. It means driving for less, with efficient hybrid options available, extending your overall driving range, and delivering great MPGs, meaning bigger savings at the pump without sacrificing power. And it means trading for more. The Tacoma and Tundra are ranked number one and number two in resale value over all vehicles, according to Kelley Blue Book, which can mean thousands more than average when it's time to trade in. That's Toyota affordability. Buy smart, drive for less, and trade for more. Shop Toyota.com or your local dealer for deals and details. Vehicles projected resale value is specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com. Toyota brand average resale value is 53% versus the average vehicle at 45%. Toyota, let's go places.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right, we're back on the clock. Ben Kenny closing it out with you. We will talk next Friday. As always, hopefully there are things that happen in the meantime. Things to talk about that isn't just random pontification about the season. But I did want to touch on this. The single stupidest thing I saw on Twitter today, I've mentioned at least Wander Franco in this segment because he was one of the rising stars in the game that has been alleged to had relations with minors and then allegedly paid hush money and is now in the legal process of fighting that. All accounts seem to be that he did it. That aside, Ken Rosenthal tweeted this article. It's one of those, you know, big my column articles. Rosenthal, Wander Franco situation shows risk in investing long-term in players in their early 20s. It's still published. The entire purpose of what he's putting out there is that it was risky for the Rays to have signed him because now he turned to be a pedophile. That's a bold take. That's not necessarily a take I agree with. That's not the spin I'd put on this. More so, the Rays and the Brewers, etc., are forced into investing in these young guys, as we've talked about, because the financial structure of the sport is grossly unfair. But I mean, come on, the guy is great on the field. I mean, how in the world would a team know, oh, we want to invest in this guy, he's the next Bryce Harper, but we're scared he might have bad relations? No one knows that. And when it happens, it is surprising because it is rare, because it is wrong. Not connecting the two here. So there you go. That was what I saw. It's dumb. Everyone's piling on Twitter too. All right. That's going to do it. We thank you as always for checking us out. We will talk next Friday. Until then, see ya.
A burst pipe. A dead water heater. The AC calling it quits. Who do you call? HomeServe is an easy way to handle unexpected home repairs with plans covering stuff basic homeowners insurance usually won't. Instead of scrambling for a contractor, you make one call to get the repair process started. Join the millions of customers who trust HomeServe right now. Go to homeserve.com/podcast for 50% less your first year. That's homeserve.com/podcast. Savings compared to renewal price void in Florida.
What is Toyota affordability? It all starts with buying smart. And your Toyota dealer has great deals available to qualified customers on reliable cars and SUVs, including the redesigned RAV4, spacious Grand Highlander, sporty Camrys, and Corollas. It means driving for less with efficient hybrid and plug-in hybrid options available throughout the lineup, extending your overall driving range and delivering great MPGs, saving you money at the pump. And it means trading for more. Toyota is known for building long-lasting vehicles. And as the best resale value brand, according to Kelley Blue Book, your Toyota can be worth thousands more than average when it's time to trade in. That's Toyota affordability. Buy smart, drive for less, and trade for more. Shop Toyota.com or your local dealer for deals and details. Vehicle's projected resale value is specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Books, KBB.com. Toyota brand average resale value is 53% versus the average vehicle at 45%. Toyota, let's go places.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Bringing a data center online takes more than equipment. It takes precision. Graybar helps customers predict, stage, schedule, deliver, and verify every step of the build with critical products that are available now. From networking and wireless to critical power and testing tools, our teams help you reduce downtime risk and keep projects on track. Speed. Scale. Ready now. Yep. Graybar does that.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.